I lost my Ken Griffey card. I've also lost my Bible. Oh, there it is. No, you put yours on top of mine. Have you ever lost anything?
No.
I have 3 baseball cards in my whole collection. And my Ken Griffey card is gone. And I've looked high and I've looked low and I've looked here and there. I've looked there. I even prayed, because God says we should pray about these things. And sometimes when I have lost things, I have prayed, God, where is it? Give me the answer. And I'll pray in my tongues. I will ask the question in my tongues. Like I will say in my prayer language, where is my Ken Griffey card? Because he knows. He knows everything. And so then I would say, Neil, and I would say that in my tongues. The Ken Griffey card, and I would say that in tongues, is, and then I would say where it was. And so they call me Gashuka, whatever I got was exactly where the card is. So I say, God, I need interpretation. Where is my card? And I don't get this interpretation. But I had this thought. I had this thought. It's behind your little desk stand by your bed. That was not from God. That was my own thinking, because I pulled out the nightstand and the card was not there. So I have lost the card, but it's in the house. The subject today is, Mom, have you lost Jesus? And we will put our own name there, men and women, boys and girls. Have you lost Jesus? Have you lost Jesus? And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke 2, 51. Actually, we'll begin at verse 40, where the context of the story starts. We're talking about Jesus. He grew and became strong. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. They had lost Jesus. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the preached word this day. As the seed is sown, I'm asking that it find that special cultivated soil where it will lodge and it will grow and it would mature, and it would be your blessing to us this day, not just to the moms, but to every single one of us who have come this day to hear the word of God. And we ask your blessings upon it and the anointing upon the speaker in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 40, we want to look at what things are learned from the story. And then secondly, we want to look at some things, for example, that are kept in a mother's heart. In chapter 2 of Luke, verse 40, we read 3 things about Jesus. He grew, he became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, the idea of his growing has to do with his body. Jesus had perfect health. Jesus, yes, the Son of God, but the incarnate Son of God, was a human being just like us. He was a man. And he grew in body, it says here. He had his perfect health. He had a good body. The Isaiah account of Jesus, where we don't recognize him, has to do with the days during what we call Holy Week, what he went through with his trial, where he was so disfigured because of what he went through. But Jesus as a boy and Jesus as a man, it says here he grew, he waxed strong, in other words, and this has to do with his soul. His soul became strong. His soul became vigorous. It says he was filled with wisdom. This divinity which he had because he was the Son of God continued to come down to him and later through him as it just filtered through all parts of his body. And it says that the grace of God was with him. Now, when we think of grace, we normally think of unmerited favor. Like, I don't deserve this, Dad, but I'm going to get this because of your grace. But this is not the way it's written here. It doesn't mean just in the common acceptance of a blessing granted by God's mercy to sinners. But here it is favor. In the proper sense of the word, favor. God gave him his favor. God wants to give you his favor this day. Even Jesus, who knew no sin, who was the sinless Lamb of God, grew in favor with God and with man. So he grew in favor with his Heavenly Father, though he knew no sin, though he was pure, though he was perfect, yet he still increased in that favor. God's favor to me, God's favor to you, is going to be in proportion to the nearness that we make our approach to him. And as we approach his perfection, as we approach him, he is going to reciprocate and come back to us. And we're going to find ourselves growing. We're going to find ourselves waxing strong, filled with wisdom and with the grace of God. And then it says in verse 41, every year his parents went to Jerusalem. Well, why'd they go? Why'd they go there? It was for the feast of the Passover. Did you know that every guy who lived within 20 miles had to go to Jerusalem? And those people who lived farther than 20 miles away from this big metropolitan city had to go once a lifetime. That's why we have had pilgrimages to the holy city since early days. And so it says here that his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, as was the law every year. Exodus 23 tells us this. And it's interesting to note that they went there despite what they wanted to do or what they had to do. It seems to say to me, Neil, that worldly interest that you have today must take second place to the things of God. Let me repeat. Worldly business must give way to spiritual concerns. They went. And how old was he when he went at this time? He was 12 years old. He went up to the feast according to the custom. So the child, Jesus, at 12 years of age, pleased God by going to church. He pleased God. He received favor from God because he went to, we'll say church, he went to the temple. And here he attended, and according to the Jewish law, at age 12, a guy became a man. At age 12 was a very significant age in the life of a guy because here he had, according to Jewish customs, to know a trade. Now, how many kids who are 12 years old in King City know exactly what they're going to do when they get their diploma from King City High? Not very many. Oh, occasionally you may find somebody who knows in his spirit, who knows in his mind, I want to do this. And he could even articulate by saying, God wants me to be a whatever. But the Jewish guy knew at age 12. Jesus knew, we're going to find in just a little bit. In verse 43, the feast was over and his parents were returning home. Jesus stayed behind at church. Good example for the kids of our society, you know, to be involved in church. Well, Jesus stays behind and mom and dad goes on, not aware that he was, now this doesn't make sense. How could mom and dad be, you mom and dad ever lose your children? Have you ever lost your kid? What if you made a trip? Would you lose your kid? When we had all five in our home, we would get in the station wagon and we would count off. so I would know he wouldn't lose anybody. And they would all count right down the row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So then we knew we all were together. We could lock the doors and leave. It says here that Jesus stayed behind. Mom and Dad are just not aware of this, thinking he was in their company. They went a whole day without Jesus. Sounds sort of strange, doesn't it? Like irresponsible parents? Irresponsible Joseph, irresponsible Mary, you went a whole day traveling on this trip, not even aware that Jesus was not with you. But before we say these were irresponsible parents, these were people who needed to be reported and people who needed to have something done to them. Let's bear in mind how the guys traveled in those days. Oftentimes they would go in groups, not just family, but they would go in neighborhoods. So the neighborhood from Nazareth was making their annual pilgrimage up to Jerusalem in a group, because it says in the scripture they thought that he was with relatives and friends. They thought he was with relatives and friends. And the general rule of thumb was that the ladies would go first and the men would go behind in their own separate caravan. Segregation, the ladies first, that's protocol, followed by the men. The ladies could fight the battle, the men would stay behind, follow them. Well, Joseph says, oh, where's my son? G, where are you? He abbreviated the name G for Jesus. Where are you? Oh, he's with Mom. Mom's scuttering around with all the other ladies and says, well, where in the world is my son? You've got your son. Where's my son? Well, he must be with Dad. And so before we say that they're irresponsible parents, let's bear in mind the mode of travel of the day. So Mary thought he was with Joseph. Joseph thought he was with Mary. When they get to the end of their first day's journey, and incidentally, a day's journey was between 12 and 30 miles in those days. However, the first day's journey was only a few miles. It was only like 3 to 8 miles. That is in case you left something behind. How many of you have left a toothbrush in a motel, or you've left something at some relative's friend? So instead of going the full length of journey, days, they would only go just a few miles, between 3 and 8 miles, in case they left something. In this case, they left Jesus. If they left something, then they could send somebody back to where they left it, and then they could get it, and they could hurry back and get back in time before the others got too far down the road. In this case, they looked with the relatives. They looked with their friends. And they did not find him, verse 45. And then they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And for 3 days, they looked. They weren't able to call 1-800-VANISH for missing children. They had no way to find out where he was. And instead of going right to where they should have gone, to the church, they went up and down the streets looking. And after 3 days, verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed. They were amazed at his understanding. They were amazed at his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, son, I don't think she said, why have you treated us like this? I think she got pretty mad at him. I think she could have grabbed him and said, Jesus, why have you treated us this way? We've been anxiously searching for you. Notice this. The first time it says they were looking for him. They were searching. The second time it's a different Greek word. And here it is, well, it's put anxiously. We have been anxiously searching for you, Jesus. Why have you treated us this way? Very irate parents. I mean, after all, they were young parents. It doesn't take young parents to get irate. Older parents can be that way too. Why have you treated us this way? And here's what Jesus said. Mom and Dad, listen. Haven't you a clue? Don't you know I would be about my Father's business? Or some translations, I would be in my Father's house. I mean, why didn't you go to church to look for me first instead of looking down at 7-Eleven and at the fairgrounds and all the other places where we kids would be hanging out? Why didn't you go to the church first? I don't understand you, Jesus. Verse 50. They did not understand what he was saying. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Kids, good example here. of being obedient to your parents. And this was very important. And here Jesus, who had just been talking with the people at the temple. Incidentally, during the Feast of the Passover, the rabbis would all meet out. The Sanhedrin even would meet in public so they could entertain questions and talk and like have an open forum. And when it says here that Jesus was with them asking questions, it's not like a student, not like a teacher, asking a student a question for an answer. It is like a teacher asking a student who proposes a question for an answer in order to instruct them. And here, Jesus was trying to instruct these people. I like back up to verse 48 when he said, I had to be in my Father's house. Jesus takes the word Father, and because you see, his mother had said, your mom, your father and I have been looking for you. And now he uses the word Father, but he uses it just a little bit different. Here he is talking about my Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father's business. Now, isn't it true that people are very apt to lay blame on somebody else? I mean, you never do that, of course, but isn't it sort of a natural thing to do? For a person to lay blame on somebody else, well, this is what Mary and Joseph were doing. They were laying a trip on their son, and the father and the son is saying, you should have come to church. You should have come. How easy it is to see the slow of heartness of Mary and Joseph. Now in verse 51 of chapter 2, it says he went down to Nazareth with them and was instructed. He was obedient to them. He was obedient to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Here we got the Son of God, we got the Savior, we got the Redeemer of mankind at home as an obedient child. Not lording over his parents his divinity, but instead being submissive to mom, being submissive to dad, carry the garbage out. Yes, Dad, I'll do that. Mom says, would you please run down to the well and get me another quart of water for the mill for the wheat? Yes. Obedient. This is, and even though he was the Son of God, even though he had all this divinity within him, he did not behave toward his parents in any other way except full submission. And as no child of a Jewish parents were brought up in idleness, nor did he. He learned his craft. But the point is that he wasn't a monster. He wasn't abnormal in that he had all this inside of him. Instead, he was submissive to his parents. And his power came by spirit baptism when at the age of 30 he went into his ministry. His power came by spirit baptism. His power did not come by natural attributes. It came by the spirit baptism. And he needed it. And so today we need the anointing of God in all of us as we are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Now these are some things we can learn from this story. There are people today who have lost their comforts in Christ. They have lost evidence of their interest in Him. And for those people who have lost interest in Jesus, for those who have lost the evidence of being in a relationship with Him, they need to return to the church. They need to return back where we can find Jesus. Now, Mom lost Jesus in the temple. A question. Can you lose Jesus in the community church fellowship?
No.
You wouldn't think so. But I think we can lose Jesus. This doesn't mean everybody's going to lose Jesus, but it means from time to time, one or more people may actually lose Jesus in the church. And the way I say that it is possible, because if it is possible, but not very carefully watching our heart, to lose the presence and the power of Jesus, even in religious organizations, and that's where I'm coming from, it is possible to lose Jesus in the church. Because if we're not carefully monitoring our heart if we're not carefully watching the presence and the power of Jesus, we could possibly lose Jesus. Now, where were Mary and Joseph? They were at the religious festival. They were at a religious festival, and they lost Jesus. The point is, bottom line, we can be involved in these religious things that we do and lose Jesus. And so when a person suffers, for example, suffer's not a good word. When a person realizes their state and they realize they need Jesus, the normal thing to do would be to go to a friend and say, hey, I'm having the Holy Spirit, though maybe they can't verbalize that phrase. Something is bothering me on the inside, and I'm being convicted of something. I need the Redeemer. And they would go to a friend. They would say, hey, give me some help. The sad thing is that a lot of the people that these would go to had not had the experience, or they themselves do not know where to find Jesus. And so when people are in that state of realizing that they are lost, they need to go to the church where they can find Jesus. So we have looked at some things from the story. Well, Mom, what about some things that are kept in Mother's heart? In verse 51, it says, after this was over, they went down, because Jerusalem was elevation high. It may not be they went south, which they didn't really do, but if you went down from elevation, it was going low. So 1,500 feet below the elevation of Jerusalem, they went down to Nazareth, and his mother, and here's the word, treasured all these things in her heart. She treasured these things in her heart. If you have your Bible still open, look at verse 19 of the same chapter. Another time when Mary did something with her heart. This was when she was told about Jesus being born. And it says that all the people who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And now again, she is treasuring up these things and pondering them in her heart. Mom, what are the things in your heart today? Let's divide it between the spiritual and the physical. Let's divide it the things that relate to you as a mom and your children. This could be for a dad as well. What things are in a mother's heart? In physical, I've jotted down three things. First of all, the character and the dreams and the aspirations that you have for your sons and for your daughters. Things that you do ponder in your heart. You ponder these things. You want to be proud of your sons and your daughters. But in the area of character, you have dreams for them. And it is something that you may right now be pondering in your heart, treasuring these things in your heart for a son or for a daughter, no matter where they might be. Another thing that a mother may treasure in their heart would be the occupation of their sons or their daughters. You know, what are they going to do? Do they understand that the Bible says, don't be a fool, but understand what the will of the Lord is? In everything, we're talking now occupation, for example. How will they support themselves? And so a mother, as a child grows up, would ponder, would treasure these things in her heart. And then when they become of age and when they graduate from high school, the mother would say, this is something I'm treasuring in my heart. I am treasuring up what God would want them to do. And so we must pray. Parents must pray for their children that way. And then thirdly, the partner in life. Now, while it is not for all people, according to St. Paul, a parent would say, I pray for my child's spouse. And it's something that the mother would ponder in their heart, their partner in their life. That God's purpose for their children would be fulfilled in their child's life. And right now, you moms, there may be some of you moms that are thinking about that right now. Character, occupation, partner in life, becoming all that my son or my daughter can be. And that I just ponder in my heart, like Mary pondered these things in her heart. But more importantly, in the area of the spiritual side of your sons and your daughters, things that a mother would ponder in their heart would be, first, obviously, is my son, is my daughter saved? Do they have a relationship with Jesus? And this is very important for moms to have in their heart. And not to give up. Not to give up when the son or when the daughter has grown all the way through high school and never made a profession of faith. Not long ago, a mom called me on the phone, all upset. She was not a member of the church. All upset about one of her children. The child was not a professing Christian, and so she's all upset. And I reminded her, the scripture says, you train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And I told her to hang on tenaciously to that promise. And we prayed. And as we hung up, I felt that she had new hope for the darkness that was enveloping her, because she had raised her child in the nurture and the admonition of God. But waywardly, the child had gone. And so we must stay as parents, especially moms. You must hang on to God's promises for the relationship of salvation with your child, but also, secondly, the growing relationship, so that they can make a contribution to the kingdom of God. And I think that's what every mom would want, would ponder in their heart, would treasure in their heart. I want my daughter, I want my son to make a contribution to the kingdom of God. Now Mary pondered these things in her heart. Mother pondering in her heart things about her son. Today you moms are pondering things in your heart about your sons and your daughters. And also the Heavenly Father is pondering things in his heart about me and about you. Pondering things in your heart. What are you pondering? Chapter 2, verse 19. And what are you treasuring in the latter part of that chapter? What are you pondering? What are you treasuring? And to investigate right now, for example, what you are pondering as a mom about a son or a daughter. To investigate what you are pondering and what you are treasuring up in your heart, show me two things. The pondering sort of like would be, I'm pondering something that may be negative about my children. The treasuring could be treasuring up the good things. So when we investigate our heart, which I'm asking you to do right now as a mom or as a dad, or as children with relationship to your parents, as we investigate, it may bring a great deal of joy, it may bring thanksgiving to us, but at the same time, it may bring to us a sense of sorrow. And that is why it's very important that you tell it to Jesus. What you're pondering, what you're treasuring, you tell it to Jesus. Greg and Ken, would you pass out the hymn books right quick? I want you to turn to number 384, Tell It to Jesus. So as we investigate our heart right now, irregardless of, Mom, have you lost Jesus? I say, Jesus, I want to investigate my heart. And as I investigate my heart, I want to tell it to Jesus. What are you going to tell Jesus? You're telling him your sorrow. You're telling him your joy. We do tell it to you, Jesus. And for the pain and for the sorrow and for the complications that are making life difficult in one area or another, Lord, we tell it to you because the scripture says, the word of God says, bring your burdens to the Lord. Tell him your problems. Tell him your difficulties. Tell him your fears. Tell him your anxieties. And we're grateful, Father, that even though you know before we bring it to you, that as we do bring it to you, you will take it and you will take care of it. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise of taking it as we give it to you and then taking care of it. And we also give you our joys and our thanksgivings as we ponder our heart, for we are blessed. We are so blessed people. And the blessings come from you, and we do not ignore that or make light of it. We say, glory be to the Father from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing your sons and your daughters. Thank you for blessing the moms in this congregation, moms to be. Lord, I pray your special blessing upon them, for they have the most important job in all this world, being a mother, being a wife. And we just ask your divine blessings, Father, upon those that are in our midst this day. But we carry it on over to the dads and the children for us all. We thank you for blessing us and for taking care of us and for being the healer that we proclaim with great boldness at this time. And we ask your blessing, Father, upon us as we pray for people who request it. We ask your blessings upon ministry that follows now. In Jesus' name. And if you are here today and you would like to be prayed for, we invite you to come forward and let God touch you through the laying on of hands. You may be seated if you like.